day, I decided maybe I should just stay for a few more minutes, and in comes Warnick, and he sits down, and...
Big guy,
and he sits down, he looked nervous, but he was in his uniform and everything, and he immediately, you know, first question to him, well, the first line of questioning was all his donut-eating pranks that got him in trouble over the years, his food problem, and then when they got past all the food problem, they asked him, well, what happened on August 9th, and he said, Justin Volpe walked over to me with a stick and said, I just took a man down and shoved a stick in my face and said, hey, look, I used this stick on Louima.
Let me tell you why I mentioned him. Before he spoke, the press was full of all kinds of spin about what a bad cop this was, how many times he had been reprimanded.
Volpe,
taken aside.
Oh, no, the other cop.
Sorry?
The other cop, Warnick, right?
Warnick,
okay.
Right. They were trying to spin him so that when he finally did give his testimony, you know, you were set up to believe that he was lying or that, you know, he was just creating stories because they said that he had misrepresented before at a trial. You know, to me, this was another type of a Daisy Borea. This guy...
Daisy Borea. Explain who Daisy Borea is to people.
I'm sorry?
Explain to people who Daisy Borea is.
It's called the whistleblower these days. The one person that told the truth in the Lavoti Baez case where...
Right from the beginning. Okay. Right from the beginning she told the truth. She didn't have to be approached by the FBI and told you're going to lose your career if you don't talk.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Or your freedom or you're going to go to jail, right?
Uh-huh.
She came right out and said, offered the information, said what happened, uh-huh. and she got in all kinds of trouble for it.
But the point is that
she's still being
totally misrepresented before.
No award, no money, no promotion, nothing.
Everybody tried to say that, oh, here comes this slag. Oh, don't believe her. Well, last time she was in the situation, she told stories. There was all this setup created, and that's what I think happened. You know, I don't know what you thought about Warren when you saw
the Latino Officers Association. I think we played last week some of the tape. Was extremely, they brought up the Daisy Borea situation.
Uh-huh.
You know, they said, how dare these officers get promotions to detective, get gold badges, mm-hmm. get called heroes in the media, mm-hmm. and Daisy Borea is treated like crap.
Right.
Yeah.
Vilified.
Yeah. I was talking about the thing with the marijuana.
Oh, yeah, get that in.
Is that, you know, the this billion-dollar ad campaign that's $195 million over the next couple
the anti-drug
years.
Propaganda campaign?
I'm sorry?
The anti-drug campaign?
Right. Yeah. A Representative Allard had put forward a bill that said, can we use a little bit of that money to include alcohol
beer campaign?
Oh, yeah. Beer
we
campaign,
saw this,
a
yeah.
negative, I'm sorry?
We saw this, yeah. Go ahead.
You saw this?
Yeah.
A negative campaign about alcohol and beer. And a Representative Northrop stopped the bill, pulled it out, because... This Northrop is represented by a liquor and
the
beer
industry.
Liquor and beer
yeah.
Well, you know, no way is that going to go forward. That's so outrageous to me. But it was right there. You know, at least this kind of stuff is coming together. You know, faster. Who's actually backing all these people is what really counts. Now let's see what the guy that Badillo is. Has chosen
School
this guy
chancellor.
Peter, somebody rather from the Manhattan Institute. There's just so much here, and I want to let anybody else talk, so I'm going off track.
It's all very interesting. Thank you very much.
All right, T-Dub, thanks for calling.
212-209-2900. This is Let Him Talk. I'm Paul DiRienzo, Miss Joan Marie Moosey, and you are on the radio.
Hello.
Hi.
How are you doing?
You got to speak up, hon. We can hardly hear you.
Can you hear me now?
A little better.
Okay. Good evening to the panel. I have a question for you guys. Where is Janet Reno in the Justice Department? Can either of you answer that?
In this, well, the federal, this is a federal case, and Zachary Carter has taken the case, and he's prosecuting these officers. But as far as New York City, the problem in New York City, there is a preliminary investigation that's supposed to decide if there should be a full-fledged federal investigation of police brutality in New York City.
Or even a federal takeover
of
the NYPD.
Attorney Rubenstein, who is Louima's lawyer still, what can I think of his name?
Rubens, his first name?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Can't think of his name. He's Louima's lawyer. He's the guy who was there very much at the beginning. He actually spoke at a press conference I was at last week with the U.S. Commission on Civil Rights when they were doing their hearings into police brutality in New York City, and he was making that same demand. He was saying, where are these guys? How come they haven't decided to upgrade their investigation from a preliminary investigation into a full, all-out investigation? And there should be a lot of pressure on Janet Reno and on the Justice Department to do this.
To do this, yeah.
As well as President Clinton.
Yeah.
That's right.
Although, on the other hand, I should say,
do we
it sounds
want
like,
the NYPD
I know,
either?
Sounds like the chicken is being run by the fox. Thank you very much.
Thanks for calling.
Bye. What is it? The chicken coop is being run by the fox?
Yeah.
Is that it?
Hello?
Hi, yeah. You've had, which is easy, the dead little guy or the big guy. Take it to me. The little guy is easier to get because we don't have a voice. I know I'm a little guy.
Mm-hmm.
My name is Sharon. I am a panhandler. I have no voice but yours. Okay? I have talked to you many programs, many times, explained my situation. Now, I have seen a lot of unusual police behavior. Okay? For instance, I'm in the World Trade Center, and I'm panhandling, okay? The cops snatch me, take me upstairs, which is decent, okay? Take all of my possessions, took all of my money, gave me a ticket, okay? Now, when you get a ticket for anything, that goes on the computer. I lost a lot of money that day. Okay, close to $75. Right? Now, what happened, they didn't put you in the computer. Okay, a month later, I was able to go to B-42 Broadway to answer the ticket.
Right.
To answer the charges.
And that's where you go to the, yeah.
I got to B-42 Broadway. Like I said before, I wasn't on the computer. I wasn't on the roster.
For your ticket, the ticket you were written, you weren't anywhere. So it was a fake ticket.
Oh, yeah.
They just shook you down.
They took me down. They took my money.
Yeah. We've heard other stories like this.
There's nothing I could do because I couldn't prove it.
Right.
Because in order to prove it, I'd have to be, quote, on the computer.
Right.
And I wasn't.
Mm-hmm. So they can say they don't even know who you are.
Yeah.
Right.
Uh-huh.
Right.
Because, you know, unfortunately, people read too much about panhandlers, okay? You want statistics. There are, like, okay, at least, I would say 75 to 80% panhandlers use drugs or alcohol. It's very few of us that use the money for food. Okay? So that is one thing against me because everybody puts me in a category.
So they make assumptions about you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm a loser either way. You know, like I said before.
Where do you hang out? Where do you usually panhandle?
Well, I hear you panhandle down at the World Trade Center.
Oh,
really?
Trade Center, yeah.
Okay, well, we'll tell people to look out for you because they know if they want to give somebody some money to somebody and know that it's going for...
My name is Sharon. Everybody knows me there.
All right. Everybody look for Sharon.
So help out. Look for Sharon and drop her some change.
And I'm in a wheelchair. I can't handle that path.
Okay.
You know, and the path cops don't bother me. It was in District Number 1 that got me.
Oh, that's
interesting. I just, you know, I had to let that off my chest because I've been holding that in for such a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And, at the time, they actually had to throw me out of 342 Broadway because, you know, I'm not one to go on the left side of the law. I am really honest, very sincere, you know. And I kept trying to explain to the guard that I got this ticket. You know, I have to answer the ticket. And he said, well, you're not on the roster. You know, okay, this has been done on me. Damn.
Very interesting. Thank you very much, caller.
All right, Sharon. Okay. Thanks
for Sharon.
Calling,
I love you.
Bye. Thank you.
Bye.
It's interesting. You're on the radio.
Hello.
Hello. How you doing?
Good. Okay. How are you?
I've been in the middle of the radio. I'm a cop. I've been a police officer for 11 years. And I was wondering, did anyone, any guys from the force call at all during the show?
Well, we had Pam Renato. We've had officers on, and occasionally people call and identify themselves as officers.
Oh, okay. How you doing? My name is Bill.
Bill, hi.
Right, Bill.
Let me give you my
calling.
Let me give you my take on what's going on, and then we can exchange social issues later.
Right.
At first, well, what happened that night? Yeah, there was a melee outside the club. Something happened. A couple of dozen police officers responded, and Bobby gets hit by. It found out to be Luima's cousin.
Right.
Bobby jumps on Luima incorrectly. He should have let him go at the scene, right? Locks him up, brings him into the station house. It's really unknown what happens on right there. That's up in the air. But we do know that when they brought him into the station house, he went up to the sergeant and said, Luima attacked me and I arrested him for assault. And the sergeant, Palomo, who's on trial, said, fine, okay, no problem. Wopi brings this guy, this poor guy, into the bathroom, does his thing. And I believe, because I know Charlie Schwartz, that no one helped him. I think it's my personal opinion that Wopi did it on his own.
Well, why do you think he said that someone was with him?
I think someone walked in.
Oh, I see.
I think someone walked in.
Because Wopi didn't say someone held him down for me.
I don't think that happened. Right. I don't think anyone held him down. I think Louis was so scared about, you know, getting killed.
Right.
Or getting really seriously hurt. And he just kept his mouth shut. Wopi assaulted a guy, right? Another police officer walked in, and that cop should have said something.
Right.
Stopped it. Unfortunately, the cop didn't know what to do, walked out. Wopi, I guess, decides to finish up what he was doing. Stops it, brings him back out of the bathroom, and then sits him down. And... make a long story short, they bring him to the hospital. He tells the nurse. Then Mike McAllary jumps in, and now here we are. Wopi should hang by his nuts. Absolutely. There is not one cop that I work with who is disagree. We're all in shock because we were always we always formed the opinion that it was a setup.
Well, a lot of people believed him for 2 years that he didn't do it.
Well, let me finish. We were all in shock when Wopi came forward, stepped up to the plate and said, I did it. I'm pleading guilty. We're all like, holy cow. Like, we couldn't believe it. Because it's just, for me, it's inhuman to do that to another person. You know, it's, how can you sexually assault another man or anybody?
Get that out.
I mean, it to me, it's unfathomable. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's every time.
Well, it's crossed over to political because I think this guy felt that these people, whatever, he felt these people on his precinct had somehow, that punch crystallized for him for that moment his hatred of these foreign people who are different from him.
And I think it goes a lot further than that. That hatred goes to, he just has, I think it's a deep psychological sexual problem this guy has. On top of what you just said, you know, and he probably felt, well, this guy's an immigrant, let me take it out on him. But if we were in Nevada, let's say, and we're locking up people of a lower income on scale, which probably would be Indians, we're in Nevada, okay, or in Alaska, which would be the Eskimos. Anyone who's on a lower economic scale, they're poor. Unfortunately, they're going to be doing most of the crime. It's a hard reality. You know, we live in New York City. But the majority of poor people are Hispanic and black.
Can I say that most of the crime that the average police officer sees, maybe, but not necessarily most of the really serious crime.
Crime in all of society.
And crime in all of society, because a lot of the crime goes on behind closed doors when people have the money and the power.
Right, and doesn't result in a melee on the street or a domestic phone call or, you know, complaints from other people.
You're probably right on that, from the White House on down to City Hall. Yeah, everyone's hands are dirty, absolutely. But from my point of view, I really can't speak on what's going on, you know, in the White House and City Hall. But from what I'm talking about, our reality in New York City, the police and the citizens and the people who are listening in, it's the police are going to be called to very bad situations. Most of the time, you know, when police are there, it's hit the fan already, and it's gone beyond anyone to control. And when we have to control the situation, it's human behavior is very unpredictable. You don't know what, and some cops are very verbal, and they won't go to force. Some cops are heavy-handed. Cops are human, too. I'm not, you know, but what Volpe did is absolutely disgusting. And Volpe will never get out of jail. He's going to die in there.
You think he's going to get
life?
And, you
know, rightfully so. The guy, any cop is dirty, in my opinion. You don't wear the shield and gun. Turn it in. Go sell ice cream or something. You know, the city don't really need you, and you ruin our reputation, because it makes my job harder. When I got to walk into a street corner or housing project, and people look at me like, oh, God, this guy's another of our Volpe. And that's not true.
Well, let me ask you about this blue wall of silence that comes up, because the police commissioner says it doesn't exist. And now I've come to believe there's really two definitions of blue wall of silence. Because the first definition that, like, common sense knocks into your head, oh, well, officers defend each other and don't speak about things that happen as part of this brotherhood, etc., etc. But the other part of it is official cover-up. Mm-hmm. That the blue wall of silence isn't just average beat officers covering up for each other
for
when
another.
Something like this happens. But all the way up through IAB, covering up for the whole role of the police department in society.
Well, maybe this will answer your question. I think a lot of lieutenants and captains, a lot of these guys were inside guys. We call them house mouses. They never made arrests, all right? And I'm not trying to be He-Man tough guy. I'm only 5'7". I'm not a very big guy. But a lot of the supervision that are now guys who are supervisors, they were not arresting people as a police officer. They were scared of the street. This is just my opinion, right? They made boss, and now they're in a position to be supervisors. The last thing they want to do is have a Volpe situation, a guy being brought in, and they're the desk officer, and they got a bloody mess on their hands, because it will ruin their career, all right? So they're very quick to write you up, absolutely. That's my opinion. So I think for guys who are very scared of being active police officers, they're not going to stick their neck on for police officers they don't know. And I think the guys who rise in rank, who are active police officers, they might put their neck on the line, but only if they know the cop is a good guy. Like if the cop isn't brutal, if the cop's a good police officer, he might.
Now that's a strange culture. So basically, what you're saying, and this comes out in the trial too. If you're a supervisor and somebody under you does something wrong, it's not in your interest to turn that guy in.
Because it looks like you can't control your watch or something.
Again, you're making a general statement, but it depends on the situation.
Right.
And the police officer. I know I get along with all my sergeants. Some lieutenants I know in the precinct, they're okay. But you know what it is? Let's say what I'm talking about, my personal thing is, an early meal. I'll come in 15 minutes early on meal, or I'll leave the station house. Nonsense like that. You know, in my opinion, when you're talking about cover-up, are you talking about like a Volpe situation, or are you talking about administrative?
I think that I get the impression that there's a strong desire by the top brass to cover up situations that might affect either their careers or their political futures.
Or even their assertions about what the reality is.
Yeah,
but then
it comes out,
it's not really like that.
You're right.
As opposed from two cops, you know, agreeing to say that the guy hit me first when it was really the other way around.
Right.
You're right. You made two good valid points. The really stupid officers are going to lie.
Right.
They're going to say, this guy hit me, and stir up in the sky and make things up. Well, you're an idiot, because not only are you, you're taking a guy who didn't do anything, number one, and you're leaving yourself open to allegations. Allegation, you're going to be civilly sued. You're going to be, the IED is going to be looking up your records with a microscope. For what? For an arrest? The guy didn't do anything. You have to know what you're doing. You have to have a streetwise attitude towards people. If the guy did something wrong, then you lock him up. If the guy resists before the bracelets are put on, well, then you have to do what you have to do. You have to defend yourself. But once the handcuffs go on, you know, you can't beat the guy to a pulp. There's certain rules that the cops got to go by. Cops don't like it, but there they are. You want to step over the line, then you better make sure that things don't get out of hand.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you have 48,000 guys out there. It's hard to supervise every one of them. It's impossible.
But you still don't get to rape people.
You're right. What Bobby did is totally wrong. And if you walk up to any cop, if anyone listening, walk up to a cop tomorrow and probably ask them, you know, I've been reading about this in the paper. What's your opinion? And I'm sure they'll tell you the same thing. There's not, you know, and if a cop has a different way of thinking that it was justified, well, eventually he's going to be found out too, and he'll get jammed up and he'll be in trouble. Because if you're thinking, any cop out there who's thinking, well, this is all right, there's something psychologically wrong with you, and you shouldn't be a cop. You know?
Yeah.
Good point. Thank you very much.
All right. Good luck.
Yeah, appreciate thanks it. Thanks for calling.
Thank you. Feel free to call in the future. You're on the radio.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Oh, I'd like to say I'm glad I got on right behind him, the lying hypocrite. Let me tell you this.
Go ahead.
See? He's a liar and a hypocrite because at first everybody knows when they try to cover it up. Nobody, you know. I am so sick and tired of these white men. They call themselves men. Talking about the crime in the black neighborhood. Now, I'll tell you this. I know when they're speaking about the media, when they're speaking about the white neighborhood with the crime. Ooh, this nice tree-lined street. You understand? That's your kickoff. Now, the same day that Malcolm's grandson set the fire that killed his grandmother, there was a 17-year-old white kid in California that threw two babies out the window, and they died. Now, they ran it through CBS News once, and I got so angry that I called, and they said, but you didn't get his name, and they said, he will not be arrested or anything. He'll get treatment. I called CBS and asked them why did they play that over, because they was running Malcolm's grandson every 2 seconds, and they hung up on me. Now, I live in the Bronx, right up there in New Rochelle,